Hello, hola. I'm your host, Carmen Milagro. Welcome to From the Ground Up. We have a great guest waiting in the green room for you today. I can't wait for you all to meet her. But many of you have asked, you know, you already know that I wear many hats. I'm an entrepreneurist. I'm a certified CBD consultant. I'm a master certified wellness coach. I'm an author. I'm the instructor of Truth About Hemp CBD on CBD University, and I'm the co-founder of that CBD University. So a lot of people always ask, what are you doing hosting this show? Well, I want to help. Bottom line, we all start somewhere, and usually in whatever career you're in or whatever path you're on, most people start from the ground up, where they're dreaming, they're envisioning, they're building that career path step by step and lesson by lesson. But regardless of where you start or where you're headed, when you do start, how do you do it? How do you navigate the challenges that life throws at you? How do you avoid making mistakes, and how do you continue to grow? On this show, my guests come from various countries, different backgrounds. You get to hear their stories, ask advice. We learn from them together, and hopefully we're inspired too. I have the opportunity to speak to and learn from some of the world's most successful people. And we talk about all kinds of things, life, family, music, hope, careers, whatever comes up. Some of my guests are CEOs or CPOs. They're educators, journalists, investors, musicians, tech gurus, and an occasional celebrity or two. My guest today is Yvonne Valdez. She's a CPO and Executive VP of Business Development at Sorensen Communications. Yvonne is a transformative global business leader and champion for inclusion and diversity. She serves as chair of the High Tech Foundation. She's a board member at Conectado, a Web3 digital multiverse designed specifically for the Latino community and everyone else. She's also the recipient of various awards, including the 2020 Silicon Valley Woman of Influence Award and the 2020 High Tech Hall of Fame. She's been named one of the top 10 Latina executives of the year. And again, that's not all the awards she's won. Welcome, Yvonne. Thank you for joining me on From the Ground Up.
Thank you so much, Carmen. I loved your intro about on up the ground up, because it's true. The way that we get to where we are is that building.
We were just talking about that in the green room before this. And I think we have a whole other show that we have to plan together.
Absolutely.
So Yvonne, for the viewers and the listeners, what I'd like to do is sort of give them a little bit of background on our guests. And I do that in different ways, you know, variety of questions. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start with this premise. And I would love for you to sort of maybe go back in time a little bit. I'm going to pick a number. What was 15-year-old Yvonne like? What did she envision for her future? And did that come to be?
So 15-year-old, actually, I'm going to take you even back further.
Okay.
So 10-year-old Yvonne worked after school at her parents' business. So my parents I was born in Cuba, came to the United States at age 2. Both my parents were U.S. citizens. My dad was a CPA and my mom was an insurance broker. So we had a family-owned business, and after school, I would work in that business. And I used to basically serve coffee to our clients. My dad always had a philosophy, the customer's the king. So my job was after school, bring coffee and greet the clients as they were coming to the office. And of course, chat with them, find out. And I was always intrigued because these people would show up very nicely dressed and they always had very impressive jobs. And I remember meeting one of my parents' clients who worked at the United Nations. And I was fascinated because this woman had traveled the globe, you know, making major impacts. So my dream back then started evolving and forming that one day I want to be an international business. But it was interesting. That was the only woman I had ever met who was in international business. Everybody else was had local jobs.
Sure.
So that little seed got planted. And that little seed, it took a while to get there because through school, I went down the path. I was always very good in school. So if you come from a Hispanic heritage, it's like you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer. So I started studying biochemistry and I realized that's not what I really like. So I wound up getting a degree in psychology. Mm-hmm. I went on to get my master's in psychology, but I realized that wasn't my calling. So a good friend of mine sat down with me and he said, "What's your passion?" I said, "My passion is international business." Right. So he said, "Then do it." And I said, "But there are no women. There are no women. How do I get into this?" So it was kind of like this circuitous up, you know, road that I took. But I eventually wound up getting in with tech companies that were in international business.
Right. And there you have it. And
that was my dream.
And you did it. And it's interesting what a small world it is. And of course, I have to shout out to G for introducing us and getting us to do this, because it turns out, even though I'm not technically a tech person, but I was in that industry, and we probably passed each other in the hallway. We were at the same location. It seems like we were already intersected at that time when I was working as a vendor to Sun Microsystems.
Yes. I know. Isn't it amazing?
Absolutely.
And the experiences at Sun, I think you probably had similar experiences to mine, where it was a place where you could actually be yourself.
Yes.
And you could have dreams and aspirations and you were supported.
Yes. Even as the vendor relationship, there was such a, I felt the culture was really based on working with team members who were excellent at their jobs, and we worked together to accomplish what Sun wanted us. They partnered with us.
Yes.
And that's what we did. And it wasn't based on, you know, you and I have had a brief conversation about this, and that's what the other show was going to be about. But it was all based, it was competence based, it was collaborative based. It was a wonderful time, I have to say.
I agree with you. But even more than deeper than that is the fact that it was an environment where they quickly recognized your, I call it your secret powers.
Right.
So my secret powers are, I'm a fixer. I like complex problems. And very quickly in their environment, they realized that I was a person that could be thrown into a totally unknown situation and I could figure out how to solve it and turn it around. So in my 14 years there, I had many different jobs because every time I got something fixed, they'd tap me on the shoulder and say, "We have another opportunity." So in 14 years, I never had an opportunity to be bored. And that is so key. The other thing, you know, one piece of advice that I give people is volunteer for assignments. Take the risk. And Sun was that kind of culture where it was okay to fail. If they gave you an assignment and you didn't do so great, it was okay. It was a proving ground.
I agree. And it was also, you know, for me, it was, I built lifelong friendships in that environment, not just with the team members, but because we were, you know, we were several different vendors working and I worked on site. So it's not like it was just this, I'm over here. What I loved about that experience is they invited their preferred vendors to have a space and work there. I mean, I thought that was brilliant. And the lifelong relationships, not just with Sun Microsystem employees, but with the other vendors, the collaborative spirit was incredible. I learned so much from that.
Yeah, they truly built a community.
Yes, right? Before it was a buzzword.
Yeah, before it was the buzzword. I mean, it's interesting. So before I went to Sun Microsystem, I was actually a vendor to Sun Microsystem.
Oh, you too.
and that's how I got recruited in. Uh-huh. Because they were my customer for quite a few years. And finally, one day they said, when are you going to come work for a real company? Because I was working for a startup. And they said, when are you going to come work for a real company? And I kind of laughed and I said, well, you've never approached me about a position. And it was interesting because whether you were a vendor or an employee, it was that same feeling of feeling connected.
Yes. Yes. And being so connected that you were a part of their growth. I mean, I know that you've seen this. I remember specifically office furniture and design. That's was my lane. And, you know, that was all new to me. I mean, we didn't know what .coms were. We were just living in it in this new thing. And I remember in a year and a half, our account was just a small $4 million. And, you know, that's what we sold to Sun Microsystem. And just, you know, annual $4 million. And a year and a half, there were five of us on our team. We grew from that $4 million to a 33 and a third. You know, in a year and a half with five people, our relationship, we felt that we were a part of that growth. We felt that we were a part of their success. We were the biggest champions and the biggest cheerleaders, not just because we were their vendor, because there were many, many other vendors. We weren't the only one, but we were a part of the team. And it was great.
It's interesting because, you know, us in the Latino community, we always talk about familia.
Yes.
Right. And it wasn't a word that was used very frequently at Sun, but that's how they operated and that's how they made everyone feel.
Yes.
If you were a vendor to them, you were a lot more than just a vendor. It wasn't transactional. Yeah. If you were an employee, you were a lot more than an employee. Right. And it's interesting because the friendships that I made there, we still stay connected. It doesn't matter that we live in different parts of the world. We still stay connected.
Yes.
I always wonder, like, what was their secret recipe for creating that environment?
I think that's a great question because I think there's a lot of companies that talk this talk currently. But is it really a family? And what is the definition? How is that word family or familia being used? I think that's also something that's kind of critical when you're building culture around it. Yvonne, you spent a lot of time, you know, cultivating your career. Is there anything that you would, looking back that you might have done something different or you might have changed something? Or how do you feel about that?
No, I wouldn't change anything. I would probably have been more, I'll use the word aggressive. Uh-huh. Because I think one of the things as women, especially in technology, and when you're the only one in the room or at the table, I'm very bold and I'm very proactive, but you tend to be a little bit less forward. Mm-hmm. And I think I could have accelerated my career at a little bit faster pace if I would have been a little bit more daring.
Right.
But then there's a risk with that, right? So I went through a period where I was a single mom for 10 years. So I couldn't take that risk because I couldn't afford to lose my job.
Sure.
But what's interesting is it's been the network of mentors and sponsors and these relationships that you forge. Yes. That when I look at my career, it's almost like it's been a blessing. The people that have come into my life at the different points have been my cheerleaders that have without me knowing, have basically advocated on my behalf and basically suggested me for the next role.
Beautiful. Isn't that, there's a meme out there, right? That says, surround yourself with people who are going to promote you and help you and support you even when you're not in the room. It's mm-hmm. so true.
It's so true. And it's so important.
Absolutely. Because I was going to say, I suspect, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I suspect you do the same for others.
I do. One of the big things that I do as a mentor, every single person that I have mentored, I love mentoring students and I love mentoring young people. Yes. But one of the most exhilarating things is when one of the folks that I've mentored calls me and says, guess what? I just got promoted to be a director, or I took the challenge and I applied for a job and I got a job as a director. And I always tell them, you know, I believe in the college of tough love. So the first thing that I do with my mentees is I go through their LinkedIn resume and I will give them constructive criticism. And I'll tell them, look, tell me what you do. So they'll tell me these wonderful, wonderful accomplishments and transformations that they're driving in the business and revenue that they're generating. And I said, why isn't that on your resume? Well, because I don't want to be showboating. And I'm like, no, it's not showboating. It's actually talking about your accomplishments. Right. And it's interesting. Every single person, they usually get annoyed. So they'll go through like 2 or 3 weeks where they don't quite want to have another one-on-one. And then we'll have a one-on-one. We'll rework the LinkedIn or the resume. And guess what? Within 2 years, 1 or 2 years, they've actually catapulted.
Right, right.
But no, that is my passion, especially at this stage in life. We're empty nesters.
Oh,
my passion is about how do we give back? How do we lift up that next generation of leaders?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's perfect segue for talking about Conectados. How did you become involved? Why did you become involved with this organization? Specifically with G, we know.
So Guillermo and I have known each other for about 14 years. We joined High Tech Global, back when High Tech was literally probably 24 people. Mm-hmm. High Tech is now an organization that has many corporate sponsors, and we have thousands of members across the globe. Right. But G and I have always had a passion for mentoring and inspiring the next generation. So we've both have been doing it on our own, kind of one and one. Well, that doesn't scale.
Yeah.
So 3 years ago, he and I were at the United Nations together and we're sitting next to each other and he starts drafting the idea of Conectado. At that time, we didn't have a name. We didn't have a fancy name, but he said, I think we can create these APIs. So the two of us started doodling and drawing this out. Then the pandemic hit,
right.
And he became CEO of CloudSpot and it just got quiet and we kind of did our own thing. We kept on mentoring. So one day he called me and he said, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. And so we sat down, we mapped it out and our vision is imagine instead of Yvonne and G mentoring 3 people, 5 people, 10 people a year, that can we mentor hundreds?
Right.
Can we bring it to the metaverse? Can we create stories and teach kids, first of all, the opportunities, because the number of opportunities that are available. So in the infrastructure world, over the next 5 to 7 years, 50% of the workforce will be retiring out. Mm-hmm. There aren't enough people to take these jobs. And what's interesting is if you think about Silicon Valley, the number of kids that are digitally native, but they don't appreciate what a data center is, what a career in technology can afford them.
Right.
And then there's that other element of you don't have to go to a four-year college to get one of these great paying jobs. You can get a certificate, you could get a training program, right? And so what we wanted to do is bring to life a community, an entire community, a virtual community of experts that are at your fingertips. You want to be a CIO, you want to be a chief security officer, you want to be a head of sales, guess what? You can come to this community and actually understand what a day in the life is. And we can help guide you. So we're creating communities of experts, communities of certificates and trainings and educations. We're partnering with Hispanic serving institutions. We've set up relationships with the likes of Stanford and Berkeley, Santa Clara University. So we've been pretty busy in the last year.
Yes, you have.
But yes. our vision is how do we take that high school student into the professional realm? And then how do we take them from the professional realm to the boardroom?
Right. And it's this concept of what we were talking about earlier backstage. You know, it's you build on, that's how you build, right? You start somewhere because you're a newbie. And you don't have all the answers, but there are people, if you surround yourself with people that do have these answers, and you, I call it, and I'm not a formal educator, but I call it layered learning. It's that step by step, brick by brick. You know, again, using cliche, but you can't go out on a motorcycle if you don't know how to drive a moped. Like, it's just, you know, I mean, yeah, you can, but the risk of getting hurt and losing your balance and, you know, all these things is reduced if you do this gradually. And
correct.
Each step is designed to build your confidence, to build your, not just your knowledge, but your understanding of where you're headed and why and with whom. Yep. Right?
But there's even something even deeper than that. What we've uncovered is imagine you can't dream of riding a motorcycle if you've never seen a motorcycle.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely.
So it's the, if I can see it, I can be it. Yes. I was fortunate that my parents had this one client who worked at the United Nations and she would share her international adventures and she would talk about politics and lobbying. And I just thought that was like the most exhilarating thing. That was my anchor. That was my role model, my very limited role model. If I hadn't had her, would I have been contemplating going into international business as a woman?
Sure.
And what you find a lot of times with young people, these careers are kind of scary. They have big names. Do I really want to be a chief security officer or a CTO or a CIO? I don't know what that is. Right?
Like right. That.
So it's how do we expose them to this plethora of opportunities.
Yeah.
It's like a cornucopia.
Yes.
We're just serving it up to them and educating them and they can do it in digestible chunks.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. I'm working on another project, the similar, you know, concept. In fact, I've already introduced G to my business partner because there's such synergy there. It really does remind me, we were talking about this earlier with someone else. It reminds me, you know, like I'm a public school kid and I talk about that all the time because times were different back then. Yeah. Again, I'm dating myself a little bit, but when I was in school, I'm very proud of my public school education because back then we had art, we had drama, we had
music.
Finance, right? We had music. I'm going to assume that I would have learned on my own because that's the kind of kid I was, But we were taught, how do you balance a checkbook? How do you budget for your first apartment? You know, it wasn't called a vision board, but that is what we did. We said, okay, you've got a one bedroom, or this team over here has a two bedroom. You have $800. How are you going to buy furniture for this apartment? And it was cutting out photos and putting it on the board, which wasn't a vision board. It was just a piece of paper, you know, and we had all these different ways to use our brain so that we could touch on these different things. And it wasn't just the arts. I speak highly about the arts because that's who I am. Mm-hmm. But there was so much more. There was life skills that were being taught in my school district.
You're spot on. You're spot on. The life skills aren't taught these days.
No.
So as part of Conectada, this is something else that we're really, really excited about. We've been talking to various financial institutions that are going to be sponsoring financial acumen classes.
Exactly.
So we get imagine we get a student that goes through the program, winds up getting a technical degree, gets their first six-figure job. Okay, they've grown up in an environment where their parents, probably the combined household income, could have been less than $40,000.
Right.
Now all of a sudden they're making $130,000, $150,000 a year. So what do you do with your first paycheck?
Exactly.
You go out, buy a car. Do you save up to buy a house? So various financial institutions are doing basic financial planning skills.
That's awesome.
Because what we want to do is wealth acceleration in the underserved communities. How do we accelerate wealth and wealth accumulation? And the earlier in life that you start putting away for your retirement, right? We all know this. Earlier you start putting away for your retirement, for your savings, the better off you'll be in later life.
Right. And also to learn calculated risks for investment.
Yes.
Right. I mean, these are all things that, along with a lot of sports and most of the arts, I have to say probably all the arts, all of this has been removed from the curriculums. Not just in the underserved communities, but guess who, in my opinion and my observations, but guess who's the most impacted?
The underserved communities.
Correct, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons I think why you and I get along so well is I love to mentor, and I've done work with, and I'm just thinking about this as we're talking, there might be other ways to engage other communities like Enterprise for Youth. I still am in contact with one of the gals that she was my summer intern. She went on to go to college in Washington and up in Seattle. I don't have to, but I do want to know how she's doing. I do check in with her, and she's just like, wow, thank you. Like, there's someone out there besides her parents. They're wonderful people, but there's someone out there that cares about her career and her dreams and her path. And I will do that as long as she wants me to.
Yep. And that's really important because it's kind of like good friends, right? I've got friends that live in other states that we don't talk to each other every day or every week, but we do the check-ins. The check-ins are very important, especially when you go through traumatic times in your life. And sometimes a traumatic time is maybe you're having a really bad week at work and it's your first job, right? And you're taking it very personal because you're thinking, I'm not meeting to the expectations of the corporation. And having that lifeline to call is really important. And I've had young professionals who I've mentored who have called me and said, you know, I just totally blew it today. Made a presentation and it was horrible. And I said, why was it horrible? Well, this is the feedback I received. And I said, well, what was the coaching that you got going into the presentation?
Right.
I didn't get any. So I prepared what I thought I needed to prepare. I said, okay, so here's, I said, go into the individual, set you up for the presentation. The next time you're set up, ask for what are the expectations? What does success look like? And then tailor. And if you want an audience, I said, I'll play the audience. You can pitch to me.
Oh, that's incredible. I think that's why those of us in the coaching, mentoring, I see it as interchangeable. I think that's why we do it, right? Because I was very lucky. I had incredible, incredible women all throughout my life and men, but I had incredible people that would take that time. Just what you described. I would go to them and say, I don't know what to do. Well, what's the expectation? Did they write it down for you? Well, then how are you supposed to succeed if there's not clear, precise expectations? Oh, okay, I'll go get that. Oh, here it is. Well, okay, I can do this now.
And I will tell you, that is something, going back to our conversation about Sun Microsystem, that was something that was, it was ingrained in the culture. People cheered you on when you got promoted to that next rung. Yes. People would surround you and give you warmth and love and support. I still remember the first time as a senior director when I had to present to the CEO and the executive team, and I was sweating bullets. I had a business suit on. Underneath my business suit, you could have like wrung my blouse. And I remember one of the VPs came out into the hallway. I was waiting to go in to make my presentation. And he said, you're going to do fantastic. And he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, you're going to do fantastic. Just breathe. Take your time when you're presenting. Make sure that you go through your material. You know your material. Don't speed through it. Just smile and breathe. It was the best advice. I still, to this day, like when I go in to meetings, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to pace myself. It's like, if you know your material, you know what the expectations are, that's the best you can do.
Absolutely. And isn't it wonderful to be able to share this advice with young people to show, hey, I've been there. I can give you some tips. It may not make sense, or maybe it's counterintuitive, but from my experience, this should work. And I mean, that's, to me, that's one of the most gratifying conversations that I could have with anyone.
Is for me too.
Absolutely. When they want your advice, number one, you know, because this isn't coaching to me is something that is very special, and it is a very unique relationship with someone. And so if they want it and they're engaged, and, you know, because let's face it, not every young person is willing to listen to an elder. And that is what I consider myself. And that's why I love doing it. I love doing this when there's such a need for it and they're sitting there in front of you on a screen or in a room and they're seeking it.
Yes.
That's the best feeling.
Don't you find that the most interesting thing is when they say to you, you've actually experienced this? And I always chuckle, because when you get to our positions in life, there's this assumption like, oh, you were on this straight path. It just, everything just fell into place. And I think, oh no.
If you only knew,
you had those days where you thought, why am I here? What am I doing?
Yeah. I still have, as an entrepreneur too, you still have those days. Oh, it doesn't matter how old you are.
But that's part of, this is the other element that I try to teach my mentees. It's that you have to have an appetite for learning.
Yes.
And if you have to have if you have the appetite for learning and that entrepreneurial spirit, and you need the entrepreneurial spirit, whether you're at a small company or a large company, you can't have fear of failure. Because you will fail. You're not going to do everything perfectly.
It's inevitable.
And you learn from your failures. If you don't have failures, you'll never be learning.
Exactly. And so they're lessons. They're lessons learned. I think we could go on for probably hours on this interview, but I know that you're busy and I know we should start wrapping this up. But before you go, is there another sort of general piece of advice? I love this conversation so much because, well, A, I always love being, you know, just in alignment with someone else, also with another woman. Yes, I'm going to say it. It does help. That when you find someone that you've met for the first time or, you know, you're just getting to know and there's that energy of, oh, wow, we're so alike and this is so wonderful. It's a great feeling. Why wouldn't we want to, you know, continue that? But I think that there's reasons also. And I'm going to defer back to G's wanting us to meet again. I think there's something much bigger brewing here. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if you feel the same, but there's something.
I agree. I think we're both entrepreneurs at heart. And we're passionate about making a difference. And making a difference is in so many different ways, right? Creating technology or creating a business. But it's making that difference.
Exactly. And the education component, you can create courses to teach, you know, technology and certain hard skill sets. But there's also, I believe, which is what I try to do in my own way, is there's also a need I've found especially working with young people, that some of those soft skills we need to teach as well, preparing for an interview.
Not just for an interview.
Correct. And it's not just about the clothes, but it's also about color. It's all these different things. Or if you take the time to share what you've learned as an expert in your life and you want to share that expertise, I think that, remember, we came from communities that used to sit around the shamans and the wise women and the wise men. That's how we learned to become adults. Yes. Let's get back to that a little bit. And I think what you're creating here in this metaverse is the potential is just huge for this.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited.
There's another piece to this metaverse, which is interesting. And you talked about the shamans and the wise.
Yes.
You know, the wise generation. There's another element that's happening in society today. 10,000 people a day are turning 65.
Right.
How do we leverage these older population who are professionals, retired professionals, to coach and guide? Imagine if you took those 10,000 people on each one of them, mentored 3 children.
Right.
That's 30,000 kids a day that you could, you know, that you could mentor. So it's really interesting. How do we create that ecosystem all the way through life?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I just got the chills. I literally just got the chills. Thank you so much, Yvonne. Before you leave, how can people reach you or connect with you or learn more about Conectados and the work that you're doing there?
Absolutely. So you can reach me on LinkedIn. So it's Yvonne Valdez at LinkedIn. That goes straight to my email. So send me a note through LinkedIn and I'll be happy to connect, to tell you more about Conectado, get you involved. We need more people involved and let's make a difference together.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this.
Me too. I hope we get to break bread soon.
We'll make it happen. Absolutely. Thank you so much again, Yvonne. I really appreciate it. Have a
wonderful pleasure.
Rest of your day. Thank you. And thank you all for staying with us. I don't know about you, but if you don't leap out of your chair right now and go go learn more about what Conectados is doing and what you can do to help, or how it can help a young person in your life, I don't know what to say. But you can watch this again, and maybe then you'll get up off the chair and do that. Please do reach out. Learn more about Conectados today. A huge thank you to Yvonne Valdez for taking time out to share with us her journey of being a woman in tech and an international global presence and how she's changing lives. The more we share our stories, the more impact we can create together. I appreciate you all for staying with us as always. This webisode was sponsored by Divina. I hope to see you on all the other channels and all the other shows that I'm hosting these days. And again, I hope that you are able to take away some information that can change your life or the life of someone that you love. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. I'll see you next time. I'm Carmen Milagro on From the Ground Up.